As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic Football Show.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome into the Athletic Football Show live from Radio Row in Phoenix, as we have been all week. Michael Beller sitting in for Robert Mays here with Nate Tice. Nate, what's going on, man? Just arrived.
I just arrived. I know. I got to experience the credential experience, which is a big part of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I got to walk up and down the streets. Luckily, it's perfect weather here right now in Phoenix, so my sweating has subsided, and I'm ready to actually start talking football and actually get with these picks. I'm actually finally we get to do an extended gambling segment as opposed to just the, all right, hurry up and get your five picks in real quick and finish the show.
All right, we're not 87 minutes into things here.
Right? Yes,
we are ready
to
go. That's exactly what we're doing here on this episode. I was behind the glass on those. We were pretty much at like the 87-minute mark when we were getting to picks.
And you can wait. It was like as soon as like, all right, Bauer, boom.
Yeah. Get me in there.
You got right in.
We're getting right in right off the start on this one. We are going to talk through our favorite plays for Super Bowl 57.
Yes.
I think we could break this up most easily, going position by position.
I like that.
Start with the quarterbacks. Just a few interesting numbers off the top of the list here. Jalen Hurts, his passing yards over under 238.5. Patrick Mahomes, 294.5. Jalen Hurts on the completions, 20.5. We got 25.5 for Mahomes, 31.5 attempts for Hurts, and 38.5 attempts for Mahomes. Anything on these quarterbacks coming out to you for this one?
Yeah, I'm staying away from the yards because I don't know how the game script's going to go. I think it is going to be a run heavy game script for both teams. I just can kind of see how it can go. Not because one team's going to milk the lead, but just where the defense is and how they are going to defend them.
Sure.
But I think so. I'm going to go with completions, and I have one on each guy. I've under Jalen Hurts completions. I saw 21 or 20.5, and I like that because I think they're going to be hunting for chunk plays as opposed to nickel and diming. And so I see it more being like a 14 of 24 day for Hurts and on the ground and more chunk plays down the field going attacking with go balls. On the flip side, with Mahomes, I'm going over completions. I believe it was 26 or 25.5. I'm going with that because I think it's going to be because of the zone that the Eagles run. I think it's going to be a lot of nickel and diming, especially over the middle of the field to attack the linebackers. And so that's where I'm going with that. Those are the two quarterback ones. The other quarterback one, but it's rushing, but it's a quarterback one, is over Mahomes rushing yards at 18.5. Not only is that, he is a very effective scrambler. He's had two more weeks of rest on the ankle. He will still do it. 4 weeks, I'm like, okay, I feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. High ankle sprain at 4 weeks, or maybe three-ish weeks, I guess. But then as opposed to a week or 5 days or whatever it was. So I think the rushing yards, and I think also because the Eagles are 28th in success rate against QB scrambles. So I think there might be some ones there where he can pick up yards, maybe three scrambles, and get that 20 yards.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way as you, and this will hint at something that I want to talk about later when we swing all the way back around and get to game lines, which sort of necessarily is going to be who we are picking to win this game, given where the spread is. But it does feel like a run-heavy game script to me as well, with just the way that these two teams feel like they're going to want to attack each other, feel like the way the game's going to flow. I really have nothing on these on these quarterbacks. I scoured and went and wanted to find something, but it's an important lesson to take away.
Don't
have to force everything.
You don't.
Especially here in the Super Bowl, we got so much to get into. So let's move right ahead. running back props. Now, this is where I think we can start to find some fun
stuff. Juicy ones.
Let's start off at the top, just level set here. These numbers, by the way, that I am referencing specifically from our partners at BetMGM, you're going to be able to shop around, find things that are maybe a little bit one way, a little bit the other, but all in the same range. So let's level set with the three guys who we are mainly talking about at the running back position. Miles Sanders, Kendall Gainwell, Isaiah Pacheco. Sanders, 60.5 is the number for his rushing yards. Kenneth Gainwell, 19.5, 11.5 on the receiving yards for him. Isaiah Pacheco, 48.5 for his rush yards, 16.5 for his receiving yards here. I'll give you a little bit of a break. One thing that I liked here, Kenneth Gainwell under 19.5 yards.
This
is a number that he was under 11 times this season, and 19.5 is not a huge number, but I think we're getting a little bit of playoff bias playing into this. The Eagles beat the Giants 38-7 in their first playoff game.
Yes.
They beat the 49ers 31-7 in the NFC Championship game. As such, we saw some heavy Kenneth Gainwell usage. 12 carries against the Giants for 112, 14 carries against the 49ers for 48. And if you look back over his game log for this entire season, it's basically been what it's been. When the Eagles have been playing closer, more contested games, we haven't seen a ton of Kenneth Gainwell. When they start to get a little bit of a lead, we see a little bit more Kenneth Gainwell. No matter what you think, Chiefs, Eagles, whoever's going to win this game, I don't think any of us think this one's getting out of hand in either direction. And I think that just leads to less Gainwell, more Miles Sanders, more Boston Scott, under 19.5 on Kenneth Gainwell's yards for me.
Okay, I think you just want to say Gainwell. So that's like you're putting the vibes out there. You're willing this into existence. No, I love that. And then I'm going the same kind of mindset because I do think, and spoilers, if anybody wants to listen to it's not spoilers because it's coming out afterwards. Anybody want to listen to our Thursday preview show?
The magic of podcasting.
It's amazing.
We could be doing this whenever.
This could be afterwards. This is after the game. So I'm going with over Isaiah Pacheco rushing yards at 49.5. I think it's going to be a run-heavy script. I know I've already said that term, but more of a they're going to look to run the game. It's going to be a balanced attack, I think, from the Chiefs, especially with how the Eagles are going to defend them. So I'm going to go with 49.5 there. I think the Eagles' run defense is fine. They're more middle of a pack. Sorry, everybody. Somebody just took a picture of us. I have no idea who it was. So
I was trying to ignore it.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, but I made eye contact with her. But I just think that the Eagles are middle of the pack, even after they added Linval Joseph and Sue and Jordan Davis got healthy. They're like 15th, 16th in rush DVOA. So I do think that there is opportunities to be had there, especially if they get into heavier personnel, which, spoilers, once we get into receiving props, that'll actually matter as well. I'm also going with over Jerick McKinnon receiving yards at 20.5. Again, you're going to hear me keep saying, I think the Eagles linebackers are going to be attacked by the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. I think that that's where it comes in. That is the receiving back for the Chiefs is McKinnon. So a couple screens maybe. So I see that as the receiving guards. I really like that one. And the other one, going with the Eagles, not just this is going to sound bad, but I'm going with another under Eagles prop here. I'm going Miles Sanders under receiving yards. It's at 10.5, but the odds are – it's not really juicy there. There's 4.5 if you're feeling spicy with a little better odds out there. Going with that because Jalen Hurts doesn't check the ball down. He just he's one of the he targets his running backs one of the least frequent rates in the NFL amongst all quarterbacks. I also just think with blitzing, the running backs are going to be occupied by Spags' blitzes, so I just don't see the receiving total getting hit. Rushing total maybe, but not receiving total.
You see that across the board with these Eagles running backs receiving numbers.
Yes.
I mean, they weren't big all season. They are not high totals that we're looking at in this game.
And 4.5.
That is a ridiculous number.
That's scary.
That's one catch. That's effectively one catch. I mean, that is an absolutely ridiculous number. When you can, I mean, you know, Miles Sanders is not asked to be or capable of being a Christian McCaffrey type player.
Nope.
But he's out there a ton.
Yes.
They ask a lot of him, period.
Yes.
Regardless of how they exactly ask him to do it. And so sometimes you can't help but fall backwards into five receiving yards.
Right.
So the fact that that can be a number that we can actually sit here and talk about tells you how the Eagles do things offensively and how we expect them to attack this Chiefs defense on Sunday. Let's talk about some of those receivers, and not just receivers, but receiving props, because I want to talk about a lot of
one last rushing one. Sorry. Also, Isaiah Pacheco to lead all players in rushing yards. Plus 285 is where is the number I saw that at. So that is one I also like as well. Sorry about that.
How much of that is Pacheco? How much of that is a Chiefs play? And Pacheco happens to be the guy doing it.
Yes. I'm just saying both. That's exactly – that's a game script that I have in my mind. Spoilers again, once if you listen to Thursday's show. Yes.
I feel like I can tell where you are going
yes.
with this.
Yes.
As in terms of who is going to win –
Yes.
Super Bowl 57.
Yes.
We actually, I mean, that is true, right? You and I are sitting here. It is Wednesday as we are talking about this. By the time people are actually listening to this, it's already going to be the weekend.
Yep.
Right? So they are going to have heard who you predicted to win the game
that helps.
A few days prior before they ever hear this, which is nice.
That's true.
I was afraid you were going to, like, spoil something. Because you and Robert, that's the big show.
It is, right? That's the crown jewel.
Yeah. But everyone's going to have already heard that already. So, I'm very happy about that. Travis Kelce. A big part of basically every single playoff game that Patrick Mahomes has played in his life. No surprise there, given how good he is. Let's talk about these receivers again. Just set the board here. A.J. Brown, 71.5 yards. That's where his over-under sits. Pretty much everyone's sitting at 4.5 receptions. Some guys are going to be juiced to like -160, where A.J. Brown is. Other guys are going to be down more in the -140 range, where Dallas Goedert is. So we can just keep those to the side for a sec. A.J. Brown, 71.5 yards. Devontae Smith, 61.5 yards. Dallas Goedert is at 48.5. Travis Kelce, 79.5. Obviously, there are more guys who we can talk about here, but any of those four do you find interesting?
Devontae Smith is where I'm leading, so it's over receiving yards and over receptions. I'm pretty heavy on Devontae Smith this game. 63.5 or 64.5 for receiving yards. You can see, shop around. Mm-hmm. Sorry, MGM. But also receptions. Yeah, like you said, I saw it at 5.5. Yeah. I think Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, they're going to double A.J. Brown. I think that Bengals game plan, there's a lot of carryover, surprisingly so, from that AFC Championship game to the Eagles game, and that they're going to double team A.J. Brown, just like they double-teamed Jamar Chase. They're going to double-team the slot, and I think that's where Devontae Smith can maybe find some catches, find some opportunities, because that's going to be where the one-on-ones are going to be. So I'm very heavy on Devontae Smith. And then there's some other auxiliary bets after that with some secondary players.
It's been a strange run to the Super Bowl in the playoffs specifically for A.J. Brown individually. Yep. 3 catches for 22 against the Giants, 4 catches for 28 for the 49ers, and it's been easy to not notice it because, I mean,
they're winning by 30.
Yeah, because the Eagles effectively haven't been challenged. But, I mean, you cannot find back-to-back games like that for him at all this season. And I don't think we can take too much from the fact that that's what we've seen these two games, just because of the fact that the Eagles really haven't been in anything resembling a close game in the playoffs to this point. Is there anything that you take from what we saw against either the Giants or the 49ers?
A little bit. I think with A.J. Brown specifically is that teams know he's very good. So they know that they have to try and take him out of the game. And the Eagles Eagles offense is pick your poison. So I think especially with the 49ers, like, we're not going to let him dominate us. They get dig and explosive play after explosive play. So they have to matriculate down the field. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where that comes from. And I think Spagnuolo is going to do the same thing. I'm not saying that he's going to hold him to 30 yards, but I think it is going to be a little bit tough sledding for him to get the ball, but he still might get some juiced up, some third and longs where he catches the underneath route, some screens where he can get some of those yards and kind of pick it up. But I think all of his overs are going to be a little bit of a tougher sledding.
Imagine that we're going to see a little bit more from the Eagles deep down the field. It's sort of, so much attention has been paid, of course, to Patrick Mahomes and the ankle. It's more recent. It's maybe a little bit more severe of an injury, but we haven't necessarily seen the Eagles offense that we were used to over the first 3.5-4 months of the season since Jalen Hurts has come back from the shoulder. And I think that's been best expressed in him throwing the ball down the field.
Right.
3 of 10 on deep balls since coming back from that shoulder injury.
That's a great call.
It's frustrating for us because it's like that he's played 3 games.
Yep.
2 that we've talked about here in the playoffs, and then the 1 against the Giants in Week 18.
Yep.
The Giants didn't really have anyone playing.
Yes.
The Eagles were just like, let's get in there. Let's win that game. Yep. Let's lock up home field.
Basic as possible.
So it's like, part of us wants to take something from it. Part of us knows that there's not a ton we can take from it as well. And so we're trying to find a balance for that.
Absolutely. And another thing, too, is Hurts loves to attack outside. He's one of the top quarterbacks throwing outside the numbers. That, like you just said, the deep balls, but also stop routes and out routes that he likes to throw. The stat that I came across, and I'm not because we already did our show, so this is great. I can say it again.
I'll
repeat the stats so I can practice here, is that since their bye week, the Chiefs, so really with Steve Spagnuolo, you have to look at all their defensive stats after the bye week because he adjusts, changes how he attacks. And the Chiefs are the top defense in the NFL at defending outside the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Success rate, EPA, explosive plays, first downs per attempt. They are at the top or near at the top in all those metrics. They are very good at it. They want you to try and throw those 50-50 balls, and they're actually pretty good staying on top. They're going to make it hard. Yes, I guarantee you one or two will get completed. That's the whole point of throwing those
balls.
Only
way the Eagles win.
That's the only way the Eagles win. That's exactly how I see it. Spoilers for that once we get into that pick as well. But they hit a couple, but that's how you could see that. But it's going to be – that's why I think it is – like this. It's that's the strength of the Eagles, but that's also the strength of the Chiefs' defense, surprisingly so.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that that magic. Right, 3 of 10 since coming back from the shoulder injury.
Yep.
I think they got hit two of those. They're going to win this game. They got hit two of those. Right? That's like the under two, they're not winning. Four, they're probably winning.
Yes.
2 to 3, we're talking about the coin flip that the point spread suggests this game is going to be. Let's talk about Travis Kelce, Nate.
Okay.
Let's talk about Travis Kelce.
You're all in on him.
13 playoff games he has played with Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
These are the game logs. Receptions, yards, touchdowns is the order I'm going to say him in.
Okay.
Starting with the most recent. 778-1. 14-98. He caught 14 balls in that game.
I know.
Against the Jaguars. Insane. 14-98-2. 10-95-1. 8-96-1. 5-108-1. 10-133. 13-118-2. 8-109-1. 6-43-1. 3-30. And now we're going back to like 2017 at this point. 10-134-3. 3-23-1. 7-108. I mean, that is
insane.
That is a ridiculous run.
That's carrying your fantasy team if that was in the regular season.
I mean, you're talking about a touchdown or 95 yards in every game but one.
That's insane.
Out of 13 in the playoffs when theoretically you're playing the best competition that you could possibly see.
Yes.
And so I don't love going down narrative street. I don't love leaning on trends that are based on this, but the proof is right there. 79.5 yards, give me the over. 6.5 receptions, comfortably give me the over. I'm actually looking at ways to get alternate receptions involved in this for Travis Kelce. And so one interesting one that I am zeroed in on, Travis Kelce receptions versus Ja Morant assists on Sunday. Grizzlies playing the Celtics.
That's
which
funny.
Is not necessarily the easiest matchup for the Grizzlies.
I love it.
Ja Morant averages 8.3 assists per game.
Okay.
Feels like so basically we're looking at Kelce catching 9 balls.
Did you see any of the Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce props?
Like, I have not.
It's like I saw it on Circa on their app. It was like who would play more snaps, and there's some other ones too. And it was so there was like who would play more snaps, this or them, Jason or Travis, which I thought I might do that. I might look at one way or the other just I think that's hilarious.
So listen to this. My dad went to the same high school as the Kelce brothers.
New Heights?
Suburban Cleveland. Cleveland Heights High School. That's where they get the name of the podcast from. And so my dad is on the Alumni Association email list for the school. And so after the championship games when they both won, my dad gets an email being like, support the Kelce brothers. And they're selling like T-shirts with like the school's logo on one side and like the numbers that Kelce and number that Jason and Travis wear presently, the numbers they wore when they were at Cleveland Heights High School.
I like that.
Yeah. And my dad's like, hey, look at this email. He's like, did you know about this?
Look at
like,
that guy.
Yeah, I probably told you this 7 times since both these guys have been in the NFL. I didn't know about this.
That's amazing. my high school, we got some hockey players, and we have Ric Flair, but he got kicked out after his freshman year. So he can't really. He's not technically an alum of Edina High School. And also Adam Banks.
We have the cake eater.
Yeah. So we have a fictional character alum for our high school.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The other Chiefs tight end, Noah Gray, one of the others, I have over receiving yards. You can see at 10.5 or an 11.5. I think that there's going to be a lot of tight ends on the field for the Chiefs. They've leaned into 12 and 13 personnel, two tight ends and three tight end looks this entire season. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to do it more so because I think that's a good way you get after this Eagles defense. And so I think they go into 12 personnel, 13 personnel. I could see him getting some checkdowns, maybe one over route where they're in that heavy play action set and he's running the deeper route. So I'm over on Noah Gray receiving yards. I actually, it's one of my more favorite bets, which is surprising. That's Noah Gray. And also tying in Travis Kelce. This is my one Travis Kelce bet, yes. Or Noah Gray. It's a tie-in. I found this at Circa. I'm not sure if it's at MGM. It is. Will Travis Kelce or Noah Gray have a rush attempt?
This is perfect.
Yes, at plus 220. I'm taking it. Maybe they say, hey, you guys want to run all those QB sneaks? Here's our version, too. This is the Chiefs version. They don't do Mahomes on sneaks ever since he got hurt against the Broncos a few years ago. Maybe get that in there. Plus 220. I like the juice.
That is absolutely. I mean, that is an Athletic Football Show prop if there ever was one.
There was.
Right.
I actually like that one. I was actually kind of like, I'm gonna throw a little change at that one.
All right. I want to talk about touchdowns here.
Do it.
This is a bet that I love. This is a bet I've made every year. This is probably the worst winning bet of my life.
Okay.
If we want to talk about net return.
Okay. Okay.
I want to take you back to that's been the 2009 Colts-Saints Super Bowls. That's the 2009 season, right?
Yeah.
The 2010 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Gambling still pretty
fresh
underneath the rug. We're not talking about it, but we're not really talking about it, right? Those sorts of things.
You may or may not have done it.
You may or may not have done it. And probably one of the very first bets I ever made, I hit Pierre Garçon, first touchdown in that game. He was probably like 13-1.
Yeah.
Hit it. First time I ever made a first touchdown bet. Super Bowl, boom. I've made this bet every year since then and have not won once. So that's over now. Like it's still like a 12 Super Bowl streak.
That's amazing.
At this point, 11 Super Bowl streak, something like that.
That's amazing.
So whatever whatever modest amount, like 24-year-old me won on Pierre Garçon is way negative at this point.
By the time that 2011 hit, you're like, oh, well, there it is. The new CBA got signed. You have yet to – you lost all the winnings.
But here we are. Here we are all these years later, and I still love looking at the first touchdown odds. Travis Kelce plus 650, Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders plus 800, Isaiah Pacheco at plus 850, A.J. Brown plus 1,000, Jerick McKinnon 11-1, Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert 12-1. We talked before we went on, you're not really playing anything on the touchdowns. Is there any way that you would look into playing a touchdown bet?
If I did, it would be Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown, because even though the odds aren't great, odds around even money, depending on where it's at, I just think that's like, yeah, I could see it. Mm-hmm. And I could
minus
see
110
it.
Anytime yep, touchdown
minus 110,
for Jalen Hurts.
I could see it just either the sneak, because he'll get those, or also just low inside the 5-yard line, QB designed runs. So I could see that. If I were to bet on one, it would be one of the Eagles' running backs or Jalen Hurts. So pick a name out of the hat. If you want to get some juice, go Miles Sanders or even Boston Scott or Gainwell or one of those.
Boston Scott 4-1 anytime, 28-1.
That would be one. Maybe I also see him like once they get to the red zone, they like to use him as the screen guy. They don't do a ton of it, but they design plays for him and he's taking advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Travis Kelce is minus 125. He also has the best anytime.
What is this two touchdowns? I was maybe looking
so
at that.
So that is where I think things get interesting as well. Nate read my mind. Now, Travis Kelce is plus 310 to score at least two touchdowns. And that's
hilarious.
Where gets fun, right?
Two touchdowns is 310.
It's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous, right?
That's hilarious.
But this is where things get fun because would you rather be getting plus 310 on Travis Kelce to score two or, I don't know, plus 200 on Marquez Valdes-Scantling to score
right.
one?
Right, I'd much rather have Kelce at two.
Much rather have Kelce to score
two. You know he's getting targeted. Right. You know he's getting targeted. Like that's why your receptions bet is such like a you're just like why not? Because I mean, shoot, they're gonna target him. They're like you said, they don't really he doesn't get taken out of the game. Andy Reid's very good at designing the plays to get him open. And it's the Super Bowl. What are you hiding? what's target away?
We talk about this all the time, especially coming from my previous life in the fantasy football world. Receiving touchdowns are volatile until they aren't. Right? And Travis, they are not volatile for Travis Kelce.
No. It's because you get designed.
Yeah.
And so it's like Jimmy Graham. It was like, it's not like this is lucking into it. When you get 12 fade balls every week, it's like, some of those touchdowns are going to chalk up.
I won't be shocked if Devontae Smith's career touchdown numbers year by year fluctuate, right?
Yeah.
5 1 year, 9 the next year, 3 the next year.
Yep.
It's an age of his game.
Yep.
Travis Kelce's going to do what he does.
Yes.
Every single year, every single game.
No, that's a great
And so
call.
That's what I like. I also like to simplify things when we're going into a Super Bowl. And so I don't want to get involved in this player plus this player plus this player plus this player. I want to find one dude, but this is my dude.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce.
If there's one guy, yeah, and I, you don't like my Noah Gray as my dude, I took the other ones. I took all the auxiliary players. So I know Pacheco, but, I guess, is my dude in this game. So about Travis Kelce is, if you're going to pick one, I like that one.
Plus 140 on the anytime touchdown. Compare that with A.J. Brown at plus 120, Jerick McKinnon at plus 160. Like it, don't like it, feel fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I like that. What was the McKinnon at?
McKinnon for anytime is plus 160.
I actually kind of like that one a little bit, also because they love this one play in the red zone where they have McKinnon leak across. They've scored on it before. Maybe they do a play off of that. Like they design play. It's all about who they design players. Like you're saying, that touchdowns are volatile until they are volatile until they aren't,
right,
because they get plays designed for him. McKinnon gets plays designed for him, and especially in the red zone. So that's another one I might look at.
All right, let's wrap this thing up. We've been dancing around it the entire episode. The game line, as you and I sit here right now, is Eagles -1.5, a total of 51. The Super Bowl line is always pretty stubborn in terms of where it gets set when the game is set. It doesn't move a ton. We've seen a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
The line is pretty sharp right away. You're going to get maybe a little bit of movement. You're certainly going to get something where it bumps up to, say, Eagles -2, and then comes back to 1.5. But it's not going to be a wild swing, even though we have 2 weeks leading up to this. So we've been very comfortable with this line being where it is. Eagles, 1.5-point favorites. Total is 51. What are you thinking on the line?
I'm leaning Chiefs. I even got it at +2.5.
They came for you after you picked the Bengals in the AFC Championship game.
Really did.
They came
they
for
really
you, man.
Did. I know.
Mahomes as the MVP back in August, and they came for you.
Oh, my God. I hadn't even wavered at all this entire season. And, of course, I did. Gun to head right then and there. So, I am going with the Chiefs. I'm taking the points. I'm looking at the money line. And even if I already placed this bet because I'm I could see there's a narrative in this, and that's why you could bet on this, and this is why Vegas builds all these tall buildings.
Yep.
But I did an alternate line. I did Chiefs -7.5 at +325. I could see.
How much of that is the price, and how much of that is because you really think that this one could get out of hand?
Price, and it's not even getting out of hand. It's more control the game, and then there's that little field goal at the end. That's like it's a 10-point win or something of that sort. And we already talked about this, but I really do see that the Chiefs defense is way underrated at this point in time, especially if you look at numbers past the bye week. So I do think they have good answers. No one's going to have great answers against this Eagles run game, but I do think it's Steve Spagnuolo 2 weeks. It's Andy Reid after a bye week. That's what we forget, and because this is technically bye week, and Andy Reid is 28-4 after bye weeks, including the postseason. So even just money line, that's why I'm leaning to that, just a straight up bet.
Yep.
But just the alternate line, there's a part of me, there's this 10% path. I like it better at 10% if it's +325,
sure.
So maybe a little bit more than that. That I just see that they can control this game, especially in the second half. Mahomes is Mahomes, and then that they have a still a close-ish game, but you know they control it at the end.
My favorite thing here is the under.
I like it.
We talk about you expecting a heavy game, a heavy run script on both sides here.
Clock is churning.
Clock is churning. Yep. We know what the Eagles defense can do. We know that they're going to find ways to get after Mahomes. They're going to find ways to get pressure on him. You talk about the Chiefs defense coming into this as feeling a little bit underrated, and I just feel like we're not going to see a game that has all these fireworks all over the place. It just doesn't seem like that's going to be the direction this one heads in.
I think that's a great call, just Eagles running the ball, but also even when the Chiefs are throwing the ball, like I said before, that's why I like the over-completions.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of short nickel and diming, which is basically running the ball as well. So, yeah, I just see that clock churning. So I think that's a great call.
Under 51, my favorite play. We are looking at so many things here. Thank you so much for being with us on this episode of The Athletic Football Show. The next time you hear The Athletic Football Show, unless you go back and listen to an old episode, it's going to be Nate and Robert recapping Super Bowl 57. We will know all the results.
My first time at the game. I've never gotten to the Super Bowl. I'm very excited. It's breaking my vow, though, because I said I would never go to the Super Bowl unless me or my dad are in it.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys notice, I'm working with The Athletic, and my dad's retired, so I can go now. So I can finally go and break that promise.
You should have got to go. You should have got to. Your dad was on that staff in
98.
When lost to the Falcons.
Oh, my God. That's where my childhood ended. I went from that, and then Alex Rodriguez signed with the Texas Rangers. Ken Griffey Jr. got traded. My childhood ended very, very fast. But that's when I realized, not everything's a fairy tale ending.
Yeah.
I think my dad is 0-6 7 as a player and coach in AFC and NFC championship games as an assistant coach, head coach, and as a player. So
but look at that. You always want the next generation to do better, and you're at the Super Bowl now.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Little Jack might have a chance.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for joining us. Doing a ton of stuff on YouTube. You know that. You'll be able to catch the stream of the game. Stream of the recap, excuse me, on YouTube. So if you haven't yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, click on the subscription link in the description to this show. Thank you so much for being with us. For Nate, I'm Michael Beller. Good luck. Happy betting. Have yourselves a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and we'll talk to you soon.
This was the Athletic Football Show.